Got money on the line, no fear in my eyes. Avalanche squad, so it's time to rise. I'm just going forward, no time for going back. What's the mission? Destroy the Mako reactors. They burn it on themselves, so we gotta take them out. All in, but we might not all make it out. Ending the Shinrun, closing the chapter. The mission, destroy the Mako reactors. I never got their names, and I didn't really care to. I just want the money, so the mission I adhere to is simple. I join some resistance clique, blow up the reactor, then we split, that's it. And they go on about saving the planet, all the precious resources we've been taking for granted. But I'm doing me, it's not that I don't understand it, but I'm trying to carry the job out just how we planned it. I let my line work, there's no time for softies. These tree huggers better wake up and smell the coffee. Been around the block, man, I'm far from a beginner. I've been in reactors back when I worked for Shinra. And they don't trust me, and I don't like them. And I don't blame them, cause I ain't like them. War, they ain't built for it. Troubles like my wallet, I only find it when I'm never looking for it. So as I set the bomb, I start to get a premonition. Some kind of feeling that shouldn't be a part of the mission. But I do it, 10 minutes remain before reactor one is going down in flames. And so we out to the train to rest. Part one of the mission is a complete success. So for now it seems that the good guys are winning. But this ain't the ending, it's only the beginning. Come on, money on the mind, no fear in my eyes. Avalanche the squad, so it's time to rise. I'm just going forward, no time for going back. What's the mission? Destroy the Mako reactors. They burn it on themselves, so we gotta take them out. All in, but we might not all make it out. Ending the Shinrun, closing the chapters. The mission, destroy the Mako reactors. We get back to the hideout later in the day. And the bull Barrett's acting shady with the pay. I don't need this, fam, y'all can go on without me. Halfway out the door, a Tifa comes up and stops me. Tells me about a promise that I made back in the day. That if she was in trouble, that I'd be there with no delay. And now here I stand, walking out of my chance. So I agree to the mission, and we leave in town and I bump into a dude named Johnny. Childhood friend who found the need to remind me to take care of Tifa. And yeah, I willingly oblige. And next on the agenda is reactor number 5. We hop up on the train and begin to take a ride. But not long after that, we get for another surprise. So unsuspicious, stay locking down the train cars. Makes it exciting, cause I know it's about to pop off. But we run to the first car and hop off. Near miss, we escape unscathed, unharmed, so we continue right on our way. Gotta move fast, get it done, I ain't got all day. But inside the reactor, we head into the core. And the layout, well, it's the same as before. And again, when I reach it, I feel another light flash. I'm on the floor, weak, paralyzed, right fast. Get up, set the bomb, bust out the premises. Till we get surrounded by soldiers and the president. He's monologuing about taking us under. Summons a robot that he calls Airbuster. We triple team it and eventually defeat it. But the explosion ripped the ground apart between us. I'm hanging in the balance and I hear Tifa screaming. I slip and that's the last thing that I remember seeing.
Mako Reactor by Megaran and Lost Perception. That is from their album Black Materia Final Fantasy VII. And playing that because I have Kent Ward on the show and he runs Ungaku Overdrive?
Yep, that is correct. Thank you very much.
No problem. I was like, yeah, that's... And then you told me how to say it, so I'm not going to just... Anyway, Kent Ward runs Ungaku Overdrive and is, let's see, a promoter, would you say?
Yeah, I
and
guess...
And podcast host? Yeah, you guess promoter? Or how would you describe Ungaku Overdrive?
Well, Ungaku Overdrive started out as kind of like an answer to Nerdapalooza. And I guess I'm the promoter and founder and all that. I like the term event organizer because I come from the anime convention scene. I've worked for MegaCon in Orlando and I also worked for Anime Fest for Orlando. But Ungaku Overdrive started kind of like as a counterpoint to Nerdapalooza, which is a massive show that happened in Orlando for many years. But my pet peeve at the time was... They're doing all this stuff to represent the nerd community, whether it be comic book fans or video game fans, but it felt like anime fans were left by the wayside. So I'm like, well, if they're not going to try to do anything for the anime community in Orlando, I'll do something. And that's how Ungaku Overdrive came to be. But since then, we've adapted to kind of be like the one-stop shop for nerd music in Orlando, Florida. So whether it be video game bands, nerdcore hip-hop, chiptunes, or geek rock, we've covered the full spectrum featuring the best acts, not only from Florida, but all around the country.
Definitely. Just looking at, and the links to Ungaku Overdrive and Twitter and everything will be in the description on the website and on the in the show description of the podcast. But there is you. How long did have you been in operation? Actually,
We've been in operation since 2013. Our first show was actually St. Patrick's Day of 2013. That was a lesson learned, but we, you know, you gotta start somewhere. The show itself, that show didn't do well because it was on a Sunday. It was St. Patrick's Day. It was raining. It was actually right after a convention, MegaCon. It was actually the last year I worked for MegaCon. We did like our attempt at an after party that unfortunately did not go real well, but like it was a good learning experience because like from there, it was like, all right, well, what do we do wrong with that show? And what can we learn from that that we can improve upon to do better? So we definitely learned from that. And by the time we got to our second show, a lot of things were tightened up and a lot more successful, both financially, attendance-wise, and people having a great time.
Oh, that's great. I mean, first shows are always, like, when I was volunteering at Valley Free Radio and I was heading programming, I always told my new programmers, listen, your first show is gonna be crap. Don't worry about it.
I think that's just the rule of thumb, whether you're a content creator or a podcaster or doing any kind of creative endeavor, the first thing that you're gonna release is not gonna be great, but you'll get better at it gradually as you keep at it over time.
Exactly. You learn from your mistakes and you learn from random stuff that's happened, and it just keeps getting better and better. And just like Overdrive and like your show, the podcast that you run in conjunction with Ungaku Overdrive, Nerd Music Meltdown, can you tell us about that? Like when that why that started?
Okay, so I used to run an anime podcast called Propeller Anime Radio, and I was doing that the same time I was doing Ungaku Overdrive. Actually, Propeller Anime Club was an anime club that I ran for 12 years. From 2006 to earlier this year. But I started a podcast maybe many years before I even did Ungaku Overdrive, right? And at one point I had a guest on there named Richie Branson, who's a prominent rapper. So he's done a lot of great anime raps, and we've had him for some shows. So I felt like right after one of the nights I had a show with him, after a charity show we had, I decided to do an interview with him. This like right as he released Life After Death Star, which is a big flip on like both like Notorious B.I.G.'s Life After Death and the Star Wars soundtrack. So it like got millions of downloads, got featured all over the internet, Variety talked about it, etc. But I did that interview with Richie Branson for Propeller Anime Radio, and it blew up so much that I was like, well, what if I did like a nerd music podcast where I just kept doing interviews with lots of people that I know? Because one of the things on my end, I've gotten to establish personal relationships with a lot of these acts, gotten to know them and what they're all about, what makes them tick and hear their stories. And I get to see that and hear that, but most people don't. And I felt personally, well, if fans got to hear more about what makes these acts tick, because there's not really a lot of press for what we do, then I think that will get fans more into them and more behind them and supporting them. So the idea of the podcast was to interview some acts I thought were amazing and talented and, you know, just get the fans to know more about who they are.
Yeah. That's really interesting. Just not just that you wanted to present the acts to new listeners, but really get them invested in the artists and their music. Not just be like a passive listener, but actually be active in learning more about the artist.
Absolutely, because these guys, they're talented musicians, but they're also people too, and some of them had some struggles to get to where they are. Like in the nerd music community, as you know, it's a lot harder to be taken seriously if you're doing video game music or if you're doing nerdcore chiptune, because that's not real music, according to the mainstream. So it feels like for those acts, they got to work at least three times harder just to be taken seriously on some sort of level. So seeing that struggle, but also nowadays, a lot of those acts are succeeding more. They're playing bigger shows. They're playing bigger festivals. They're being a part of events like E3 and PAX and whatnot. Or they're being featured on video game soundtracks. So more of the guys like Danimal Cannon, for example, he did music for a game called Just Shapes and Beats that was on the Nintendo Switch and now the PS4. He was a dude who played in Arm Cannon, which is a band out of Buffalo that did a lot of great progressive rock video game covers. But then, like, he'd start doing his own chiptune thing as Danimal Cannon, and a developer just happened to spot him at an E3 after party and become an instant fan, and that developer would make a game called Just... that developer would go on to make a game called Just Shapes and Beats that was a huge independent hit. It was being featured at events like PAX and MAGFest and whatnot, but it featured not only music from Danimal Cannon, but a lot of, like, luminaries in the chiptune community, like Phantomech, Chibi Tech, guys like that, Big Giant Circles.
Mm-hmm.
So, great game. If you have not played that game yet and you're in the chiptune, definitely check it out, because it promotes a lot of great music, but, like, each level in that game is crafted to the song that's being featured.
And what was the name of that game again?
Oh, Just Shapes and Beats. It's on the Nintendo Switch and also the PlayStation the 4. PS4. Yeah.
I know that you said that you started doing cons and doing festivals before you did Overdrive. Like, can you tell me, like, what got you into that work in the first place?
Wow. So that's a long story. So I guess I'll do the abridged version. So I came up to Orlando for college, went to Full Sail University for game development. But I took a liking to, you know, the community in general, because I started going to anime conventions like MegaCon and Anime Fest Orlando and JCon as a fan, right? And you start to get to know the people in those communities. There's, like, message boards you can join and interact with people over there. So I got drawn into doing things more on a behind-the-scenes level. First, as a panelist at conventions where, you know, you just talk about your favorite anime or video game in front of people. And then from there, I was getting brought into, like, doing, like, volunteer work where I'm, like, helping organize events and whatnot. And then I did so good at that, they're bringing me on to be staff to organize the schedule, reach out to guests, help with the promotion of those events, things of that nature. So I'd done that for, I don't know, it feels like the good part of the last decade. Yeah, I guess since 2007, I started getting more involved in a behind-the-scenes level with those kind of events. And concurrently, I've been running an anime club as well on the side of that. So I've developed a big reputation as someone who was doing stuff for the anime community in Orlando. So I made a lot of connections with both companies, fans, convention staff, all that stuff. And somewhere along the line, I found out about an event called Nerdapalooza. And I've already been a fan of, like, video game music, listening to Overclocked Remix and video game cover bands and whatnot. Shortly before I went to Nerdapalooza, I found out about Mega Ran and the Adventures of Dwayne and Brando, which at the time I didn't know what Nerdcore was. I just thought of it as video game rap, you know? So Mega Ran's rapping about video games. Dwayne and Brando had some funny YouTube videos and some hilarious raps about video games as well. I find out that they're going to be at Nerdapalooza in 2010, and I'm like, I got to go to that. So I don't know any of the acts there for the most part. Like, I've heard of the Proto Man. I knew of Random Encounter because they're a local band. I actually met Travis, a.k.a. Careless, the accordion player, at a talent show I was running at Anime Fest for Orlando, right?
Right.
So I go to the event, and, you know, there's some acts I really took to, like the Megas, and definitely the Proto Men, and, I don't know, like, I think for MC Frontalot was there as well. But it's pretty much my introduction to the community, like, not only just the musical acts, but also the people there. Like, I made a lot of friends, long-time friendships, at that particular Nerdapalooza. I even met my future girlfriend at that event. So to me, Nerdapalooza was really special. And I had gone for a couple years, but, like, and I started to get to know the staff more, and I'm like, why don't you guys do more stuff with the anime community? We got Anime Fest Orlando, which is huge, which I'm a part of. I'm involved with MegaCon. Why don't you guys have a presence there? And their mindset was always, well, we don't really think there's a crossover with nerd music and anime. And I'm like, well, I'm here, so I think that's
what? Plus.
Yeah, that's an official thing that they said. So I thought that was nonsense. So while I was running the anime club, before there was even on Gakko Overdrive, I actually had organized a charity show in December of 2012 at a spot called Bakuri Lounge. And I'm like, well, I know Megaran, and Megaran's really dope. I listened to his music. We knew each other personally on some level. So I emailed him, like, hey, do you want to be at this show? And surprisingly, he said yes, even though I'd never done a concert before. And all I was doing was, like, you know, anime conventions and anime club, which I don't think I even mentioned my AFO or MegaCon credentials to him. I just mentioned that, hey, I run this anime club in Orlando, and we're doing this charity show for, like, a children's charity to help, you know, get toys and whatnot for kids and stuff. I figured I'd have some cool music going on and karaoke and whatnot. So he agreed to do the show, and it was a massive success. Like, it was a packed venue. We made a lot of money that was donated to I'm trying to remember what it was. I think I ended up going to the Zebra Coalition, which was a local charity here in Orlando. And we got a lot of toys and stuff, too, that we donated as well. So it was massively huge. And a lot of people that came out never went to a Nerdapalooza because Nerdapalooza never really reached out to them. They came out because I was running it, but, like, they dug Megaran. And we had some other acts on there as well, like MC Rection, HD Ninja. And I'm trying to remember one of the other ones. He was part of Emergency Pizza Party. Some guy out of Tampa, but...
I can't remember.
Yeah, he does a lot.
I can't remember the band notes.
He did a lot of science-based raps. For whatever reason, his name escapes me. I don't know if he's still active, but like, I had a good lineup of people, local acts, and of course, Megaran as the headliner, and it was a hit. So I'm like, well, why don't we do something that's primarily this? And that's where Angaku Overdrive came to be. And I wanted to focus more on the anime side of things, like get J-pop artists, get guys like Richie Branson.
Mm-hmm.
Things of that nature. So I figured let's like have some kind of like anime themed event. Angaku is a Japanese word for music, and Overdrive was actually a reference to JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, at least the early parts, because they kept like naming their moves like Sunlight Yellow Overdrive and stuff like that. So
yeah,
JoJo's had just come out as far as an anime. I've been reading the manga for years, but like, it was an anime series that just started taking off, so I'm like, let's reference that, because we had all kinds of different names for like what the show event or show could have been. Like Second Impact was like a perceived name at a time, like which was an Evangelion reference.
With nerd acts and with nerd like companies and stuff, I just love the naming conventions that people come up with. Just the, like, how people come up with, like, the name of their actor, like, the one-ups, or the proto-men, or, like, or Angaku Overdrive. It's just the love that people have for the subject of their music and their hobby is just, it boggles me sometimes that it can be so deep, you know?
Absolutely. And it's wild, too, because now there's more of an embrace with the anime industry and the musical acts that we feature. So Funimation, for example, is primarily a factor in that. Like, they featured guys like Sky Blue. They featured their music in their promotional videos for their anime. And just recently at Otakon, there was a Tribute to Nujabes concert that took place not only at the Otakon convention, but also at the National Library of Congress in D.C. And IQ was a act that was featured at both those. He actually helped organize the events, but... He's a nerdcore MC right out of Orlando, Florida, who's been killing it all over the country, but he helped organize that. But on top of that, Funimation organized a Samurai Champloo 15th anniversary panel at Otakon, which featured not only some of the voice actors from the anime, but the musicians of that show, which was Shingo 2, who sang the Battle Cry theme song, Substantial, who had ties to Nujabes, and IQ was on that panel as well. So I think that crossover between nerdcore and video game music and chiptunes just starting to blend more with both the video game industry and the anime industry.
Yeah, I mean, IQ, friend of the show, he was on the show for an interview, like, in February, part of my Black History Month series. And, yeah, he has been everywhere with some new music, like, all the time. And so you focus on anime stuff, and you started to focus on some more video game stuff, but what kinds of music do you try to focus on, like just rock or just and you're bringing in hip-hop, but do you have like stuff like video games live, like orchestral stuff or quartet stuff or something like that, or do you just focus on like rock and rap and stuff like that?
It's a variety of things. You mentioned quartets. We actually talked to Triforce Quartet about the idea of being on Warriors of Light. We couldn't come to like terms that would work for both sides. Mm-hmm. I do want to work with them down the road, but that was an act that we were talking about for Warriors of Light, and I would love to do that, but it's got to be right for both of us. However,
of course,
it's a mix of, we have a mix of things. So my idea is, it doesn't matter if you're like a video game band or a nerdcore actor or chiptune. What I'm looking for is, my shows are for the video game and anime crowd. That's our primary demographic. If you play great music that resonates with that audience, I definitely want you at my show. It doesn't matter what genre of music that you are.
Speaking of Warriors of Light, I'd like to play something from one of the acts that's going to be featured there, The Returners. and they have an album, Immune to Silence. Do you want to say anything about that band before we go into it?
Yeah, it's a group out of Austin, Texas. They've been all over the place, PAX South, PAX West, MAGFest, Nerdapalooza, Orlando Nerdfest, and they'll be making their Ongaku Overdrive debut at Warriors of Light, and they've been on my wish list for a while. They're very talented. I think Lauren playing the flute is a great aspect of what makes that band unique, and she can sing as well and hit them high notes, so it's a great band, and you guys are going to enjoy them.
All right, so this is, the track is called Our Last Ray of Hope, and it is coming from Final Fantasy VI. This is the Returners VGM from their album Immune to Silence, and you were listening to Press Start to Continue. We'll be right back. That was Our Last Ray of Hope from the Returners. Music from Final Fantasy VI from their album Immune to Silence. And you're listening to Press Start to Continue. And you're also listening to a great interview I'm having with Kent Ward, who runs Ungaku Overdrive.
Hey, what's up, y'all?
Hey, so we mentioned Warriors of Light, which is a show that's coming up. Can you tell us anything about that?
Yeah, so we've been doing more shows that are focused on video game franchises. Now, here in Orlando, since I started doing shows, like the first couple shows I did were, you know, we were growing and people were appreciating that, but like Nerdapalooza still existed at the time. Then 2013, they had their final show, and Nerdapalooza coming to an end actually left a big blow to the Orlando nerd music community, and we haven't really recovered from it. Like, the show still exists, and we're at a point now where we can have shows where people come out, have a great time, and we make enough money to pay the acts and sustain. But, like, it's not on the level of what Nerdapalooza was. A year afterwards, a group started something called Orlando Nerdfest, and it tried to be like Nerdapalooza 2.0. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, they spent more than the show made, so that kind of fell apart. So,
yeah.
For me, personally, it's like I'm funding these shows out of my own pocket. Like, you know, financing them directly, because I'm fortunate enough to do that. But, like, you know, you guys still depend on fans to come up and buy tickets and get that money back. That way you can keep moving forward. So I've been able to do that with a conservative approach. But I still want to do something really big. So several years ago, Metroid was turning 30 years old. And for whatever reason, Nintendo didn't want to acknowledge the Metroid franchise at all. But I'm like, I want to do something really cool with the Metroid series, so let's have a really cool concert that's a tribute to the 30th anniversary and the month that it turned 30. So I reached out to different bands, like Metroid Metal and Samus were definitely on the list. They weren't available. However, I got two acts that I never worked with, never got to talk to, but were fans of what they did, and that was Bit Brigade and Super Guitar Bros. So Bit Brigade's a video game band that does speedrun concerts of various NES games, like Metroid, for example, Mega Man 2, Legend of Zelda. So they're going to come down from Athens, Georgia.
Hold on. Let's back up for a second.
Yeah.
Did you say speedrun concerts?
Yeah, so it's a five person group, and one of the band members, Noah, is the game player. So he's going to set up on stage. There will be a game console hooked up to a projector and screen, and Noah is like a whiz when it comes to video games. So He'll just speed run through the game, but what's happening while he's playing the game is the rest of the band is playing the soundtrack of that game in real time. So let's say, for example, for Metroid, if you're going from like Taurian to like Kraid's Lair, they're gonna switch up the musical cues. Or if you go into like the hallway that has like the item, like the power-ups, they're gonna play that theme and things of that nature. Or for Mega Man 2, they're gonna play the stage music of like Woodman when he goes in the Woodman stage, and then play the boss music at the end. So it's a very dynamic concert. And so Bit Brigade's a band I've had a huge relationship with, and I'll talk more about that in a bit. Sure. And then we had Guitar Bros, which are an acoustic rock duo, and they definitely had a variety of NES tunes, including some Metroid stuff. So it all came together as an okay show. I felt like, well, Metroid's kind of a hard series because there's a lot of vocal passionate fans, but that audience is really small, which is why I don't think Nintendo has given it that much love. But that was the starting point. And I'm like, well, that was cool. The next year, Mega Man's turning 30. So we're going to do a big 30th anniversary for the Mega Man franchise. Even if Capcom doesn't really do anything with that anymore, at least that was the even though that was the mindset at the time, mind you. Because a couple days after that show, they announced Mega Man 11. And they actually supported our event too, which is wild. So Mega Mania is what we called it the following year. And we had Bit Brigade back doing Mega Man 2. Plus, we have the Megas, Mega Ran, and Kadesh Flow. And this kind of built on the concept that I wish we did with the Metroid show, where not only is it a concert, but before the show, we're going to make it kind of a mini-con where people can come in. There's going to be vendors, there's going to be artists, there's going to be game setups, there's going to be like contests like a Mega Man X speedrun race, or Mega Man 10 has like this challenge mode called Endless Attack or something like that, where how many stages can you get through in Mega Man 10? And whoever had the most of those won a prize and some cash. And same thing for the Mega Man X speedrun races. Whoever beat that game the fastest won some money as well. So we had that. We had a costume contest. We had themed drinks, of course. Because we're at a geek. Of course. Yeah, well, we had a bar called the Geek Easy. but like they had themed drinks like the Mega Buster and the Proto Buster and all that. You know, basically like a blue drink with some alcohol mixed in, a red drink with some.
Yeah, of course.
And, but they sold like crazy, you know. So they sold nuts. We actually sold out the show. We probably overpacked the venue because the Megas had not been to Orlando in forever. And I don't think the Bit Brigade guys have even... Well, I think it would have been like 5 years since they last did Mega Man 2 in Orlando. But the idea is this is like a unique, one-of-a-kind event where it's a big party dedicated to a particular game franchise with music, games, artists, vendors. And it was massively successful, very well received. And that pretty much lit the idea in my head of, okay, this is what we should do. Because I tried to do like one-day festivals. I tried to do like chiptune showcases, nerdcore showcases, stuff like that. But we would get like okay turnouts, but nothing was really clicking. And Mega Mania felt like, all right, this is what we need to actually do. Not really just so much as a concert, but like an event dedicated to a particular game franchise. So Mega Mania was a hit. And then last year we did Power Wisdom and Courage, which was a Legend of Zelda event featuring Bit Brigade once again, Master Sword, the Guitar Bros, DJ Joe. And we moved to a bigger venue called The Abbey, which is a nice venue downtown Orlando. And we had, like, the mini-con stuff going on at the same time as the music as well, so people can enjoy video games while listening to video game music, which in this case was Legend of Zelda stuff. Or they can, like, check out vendors and artists that had, like, you know, Zelda art or Zelda goods they made or purchased to sell or whatever. So, and plus the bar had, of course, had, like, the drinks themed after the three goddesses, Nairu, Din, and, I'm forgetting the third one, but, like, you know, the three goddesses from Ocarina of Time that formed the Triforce. They all had the drinks were like Din's Fire, Nairu's Love, and Ferrari's Win. There you go.
There it is, yeah.
And that was a massive hit, because that was a big financial risk for us as well, because the Abbey is a prominent venue that's in downtown Orlando, so going from like a geek bar in Winter Park to like a prominent venue, well, they expect to make more money, obviously, but we actually pulled it off thanks to the themed drinks. So they had expectations of how well the bar was going to do, plus the venue fee was higher as far as rentals. But that included security, included sound, lighting, all that stuff, and it was a bigger space. So it was a massive hit, and the Abbey liked us so much that they're letting us come back for Warriors of Light.
And this is going to be the same thing. So we have Final Fantasy music, Final Fantasy centered acts. You're gonna, I assume you're gonna have like the same thing, like vendors and cosplay or whatever at the show.
Yeah, so obviously we'll have we're going to have like 4 to 5 acts. We have 3 signs so far, so Megaran's going to be on the show, the Returners will be on the show, and the Sense of Urgic will be on the show. I'm really excited about that. I haven't worked with Megaran in a very long time, so I'm looking forward to having him again. And the Returners and the Sense of Urgic, we've never had before. They'll be making their Ongaku Overdrive debuts at this show. And there's a couple acts that we're talking to that I'm hoping to lock down. It comes down to budget and sponsorships and all that, but it's going to be a great show nonetheless. We're going to have video game tournaments. We're actually going to have tournaments for Urgites, God Bless the Ring, and Dissidia. We're talking about Smash Brothers as well, because Cloud's in the game and now the heroes in Smash Brothers as well.
Right.
And of course, we'll have other Final Fantasy game setups. We'll have the NES Minis and SNES Minis out as well. That was a hit at our last event, so people like that, so we'll have that. We're still working on what drink ideas that we'll have the bar concoct for us. So, I mean, we're talking about things like something de Chocobo to play off the different Chocobo themes that they've had throughout Final Fantasy, or maybe Cactuar juice for the Cactuars. So, or maybe something related to the Moogle or Materia or Mako Eyes, you know, something that's like themed to Final Fantasy VII. So I'm looking through all the nerdy drink recipes to see what we can find that will work best for our audience.
Yeah. So is there going to be, I mean, this is the most important thing, is there going to be anything involving Crystal Chronicles?
I was honestly hoping that the Switch version is going to be out before the show, because I'm like, great, I got a bunch of Switch controllers, I got a Switch, we can have that hooked up and have people play that for players easily. Unfortunately, that was not the case. Crystal Chronicles is coming out afterwards.
Yeah.
But I do have a GameCube, and I do have a Game Boy Advance SP with the hookup cable. Plus, I have connections to local game stores like Cybertron Games and Gamers Inc., so they're willing to help us out with equipment if we need it. If either of them have Crystal Chronicles for the GameCube, then we can definitely have that at the show. So that's what I'm hoping for. Otherwise, we've got some cool multiplayer Final Fantasy games or Final Fantasy-themed games. Plus, we'll have some of the classic ones available to play as well.
I really hope that's the case, because we were talking before before we started recording about different Final Fantasy games, and one of the only ones that I've played is Final Fantasy IX, and the other one is Crystal Chronicles with my friends. It was one of my favorite experiences, like, connected with Final Fantasy. It was so unique. Mm-hmm. So introducing that to, and with the new one coming out, that's going to be amazing. But introducing, like, how that works with the Game Boys and the GameCube and everything to, especially to a new audience, would be pretty awesome.
Yeah, when we did the Zelda show last year, there's obviously a lot of single player Zeldas, but luckily there's games like Hyrule Warriors, Link's mm-hmm. in Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. He's in Smash Bros. A bunch of Zelda characters are in Smash Brothers,
like, and plus there's
Four Swords. So we actually had Four Swords at the event last year with some Game Boy Advance SPs hooked up, so people could actually do that game multiplayer,
which
was really awesome. So I'm hoping to find a copy of Crystal Chronicles so we can at least get that going at the show, and find some other Final Fantasy-type games like Dissidia and Urgeist, which I already have Urgeist. Dissidia is easy to get, so we'll have those at the event as well, so it's not just solo games, because I don't know if people want to just jump into Final Fantasy VII, which is like a 40-hour game. Maybe they might have a curiosity. They might have a curiosity to do Final Fantasy I or whatever. But we'll make sure we have a nice mix of games that people can enjoy.
I think a really cool thing about, especially a series with that's so long and so varied about Final Fantasy, is when people come to the show, they can learn about different like Final Fantasy I and Final Fantasy IV and like release, and it could be kind of like educational as well.
Yeah, I hope they'll do some really cool extra stuff this year as far as displays. Maybe have a timeline up of the Final Fantasy franchise. Like, I saw MAGFest do that this year in their MAGFest museum that they had. Like, it's mm-hmm. like a little video game museum they have set up at the convention center. And they had, like, all the classic games. But, like, there was a corner that was, like, the history of MAGFest and where they're at over the years, how they evolved, who they had. And I'm like, that's a cool thing. And maybe we do something similar for Final Fantasy at the event. We do have, like, we can hold, like, about maybe 400 people there. So we got to take space into consideration, but we plan on having things that people could take photo ops at. So, like, maybe having some displays created and some art created that people could just pose by. Like, last year for the Zelda show, we actually had various cutouts that people could stand by and get photos with. Like, we have, I'm, like, looking in front of it right now, or in front of me right now, we have, like, the old man from the NES Zelda, like, all 8-bit cut out, standing on a block, the guy that gives you your sword when you first get the game.
Yeah.
We had stuff like that. We had the podium with the Master Sword, so you can stand by the podium and act like you're taking out the Master Sword. We had stuff like that. The front stage area was set up and decorated to look like the, have you played Zelda 2, Link's Awakening, or Adventure of Link?
Yes, Adventure of Link, yeah.
Yeah, so when you first start that game, you're, like, where Princess Zelda's resting. So, like, that staging, that sanctuary, we
kind
actually
kind of like a temple, like, with columns.
Yeah, so, like, we set up the staging to look just like that at the show as well. So it was a little cool aesthetic. Because one of the great things about the Abbey is that it's not just a concert hall. They do comedy shows there. They do weddings. But they also do Sunday morning church services as well. So, like, it's set up kind of like a cathedral, which is a perfect venue for, like, the Zelda show we did. Like, we pretend, like, we went into it thinking, like, you know what, this could be like the Temple of Time, or this could be like,
I was just gonna say,
yeah. And with Final Fantasy, there's a lot of religious scenery in that game, in those games as well. So the Abbey's another great spot to do that kind of event at, because there's already built-in decor at the venue that's gonna add to the event.
Yeah, so that's so we. You know, it's like mid-August right now. Like, when is the show going to happen?
I'm glad you asked that. We tried to probably mention that earlier. So this will be taking place Saturday, November 9th, 2019 at the Abbey in Orlando, Florida. The Abbey is right by the iconic Lake Eola. If you're an Orlandian, you know what that means. But if you're not from Orlando, it's pretty much one of the big landmarks of the city. It's not too far from the arena where the Magic play. But it's a cool little area. There's a lot of restaurants nearby as well. There's actually one a few doors down from the Abbey that does sushi happy hour from 5 to 7. So you can actually grab yourself a nice, affordable dinner before stepping into the show. We're going to open doors at 5. Music's going to start at 7. We're going to have games, vendors, drinks, raffles going on all night. That's going to be cool. But
sounds amazing.
It's Veterans Day weekend as well. So for people that have regular jobs, that's a 3-day weekend. So if you're planning an Orlando vacation, and I noticed with these big shows, people do travel from out of state to be there. Like from Mega Mania, we had people coming out from Carolina, Georgia, Indiana, and that was like the first time that had happened for us. And
wow.
I know I know some people traveled from as far as Boston to be at the Master Sword Show or the Power Wisdom and Courage Show last year. So we're expecting some people to come from out of state to be at this Warriors of Light show as well. So Orlando is a great vacation destination. November is a great time of year to come to Orlando because Florida is really hot. But like around November is when things start to cool down. So the heat goes away. You can actually go outside and not melt. So, so you can make a whole weekend of it because obviously we're going to have Warriors of Light. But maybe you want to do some other things in Orlando, like maybe go to Disney World or Universal or the new Volcano Bay. Or maybe check out some of the art stuff and museum stuff that we got in this town as well. Like Orlando is a really cool city where there's a lot to do here. So you can definitely make a trip of it, make a weekend of it.
It's a really vibrant place, I think.
Absolutely.
So the last thing I want to do is play this track from Descendants of Edric called Shinra Oppression. So you said that they are going to be on the show. Can you tell us about any other acts that are going to be on the show before we go into that?
Those are the three acts that we have signed right now. We're still working out deals with other acts. I have a few dream acts that I have on my list. We're going to try to have 4 or 5 acts on the show total to make it a killer night. So I can't say who we're talking to because I want to build up false hope for people. Obviously, Triforce of Quartet, course. we tried to get them on the show. Did not work out. Maybe next year for something. But there's some great acts. But the Sense of Urgent, they're really great. They're an awesome metal band out of Austin, Texas. They've been around a while. They do a lot of great RPG music in general. But the band's headline or fronted by Amanda Lepre, who not only does the Sense of Urgent, she has a lot of solo music as well, but she also plays guitar for Andrew WK's live touring band, so you know she can rock.
Oh, of course. Yeah. And actually, the last thing I wanted to ask you, do you try to do one of these a year or something? Because it seems like this is, I mean, or just like all around anniversaries?
Well, there's no anniversary for Final Fantasy this year that we know of. I mean, like, Final Fantasy VI turned 25 in April, but we're doing the show in November. But we built Powers and Courage around Ocarina of Time's 20th anniversary, because that was the same month. I think actually just a few days apart. And, of course, Mega Man's 30th anniversary, we did a show that month, and same thing for Metroid. But for Final Fantasy, the reason we're doing this show, because there's a massive demand for it. Nobuo Uematsu just turned 60. Final Fantasy VI, I guess, turned 25, so I guess there's that. That might be important going into the show. We did our announcements based around those particular dates as well. So I thought that was cool. But there's no particular anniversary in mind when doing this show. We just wanted to feature a lot of great acts that are beloved and tied to the Final Fantasy franchise, because that was hugely demanded by people last year. We actually do a lot of surveys for our events after they happen. So we're like, which game do you guys want us to focus on next? And Final Fantasy dominated the poll. So that's what we're going with. And we do some other shows throughout the year. Another event that we do is called Orlando Overdrive, which focuses exclusively on Orlando-based acts, so they get some love and a great payday as well. So we'll be doing that again next year, obviously. Excellent. And we got some plans for next year. Actually, there's probably a few more shows next year compared to this year, but we want to get through Warriors of Light first before we start doing any of that.
All right. Well, thanks so much for being on. It's been really interesting learning about, you know, we talked to the artists and everything, but it's really interesting hearing what goes into the back end of all these great shows that we get to go to and all of this great music, like how it's presented and how it's given to us. So thanks so much for being on Press Start to continue.
Oh, yeah. Thank you very much, Morlock, for having me.
So this has been Kent Ward of Ongaku Overdrive. If you want to know more about him, then check out starttocontinue.com. There will be links in the description of this show, on the website, on the podcast, and we'll try to put his stuff on the artist list, because why not? We're going to play Shinra Oppression by Descendants of Edric, who's going to be at Warriors of Light in November 9th in Orlando, Florida. So I don't care where you are. You're listening in Western Mass. You're listening in North Chicago on Pulse. You're listening anywhere. Check that out. So this is from Descendants of Edric's album, Advent. Shinra Oppression, thanks so much for being on, and you've been listening to Press Start to Continue.